Shalom to all. Today's Davos Yerushalmi Pesachim Dav Chaf Vav, and we are starting Chaf Yom Rebeis on the bottom with Halacha Dalid, and the middle source Davos on Chaf Beis Yom Rebeis, and today's Davos sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Merim Sar Basim Yaakov Moshe Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. Now there are four main stages of making bread. In this case, obviously we're discussing matzah. So there's lisha, which is kneading of the dough. Ketifa is shaping it into the loaves or into the matzahs. Hesek is heating up of the oven, and afia is baking them. Now knowing that, Mishnah tells us Rav Gamliel, and Rav Gamliel says Shalosh Nashim Lashers Kaachas VaOifes Betanur Echad Zuacharzu. Three women can knead dough at the same time and bake it in the oven one after another. Even though only one woman at a time is actually able to bake her dough, they could still all start out together kneading their dough and then shaping into loaves. And even though woman two has to wait for woman one's matzah to be finished, and number three has to wait for one and two, no problem, we're not worried about chametz. Now, chamer and chum say that no. Shalosh nashim oiskos bebatzek. We could have three women working together with the dough, but they all have to do it in different stages. Achas lasha, one of them kneads her dough. This is actually number three. She begins kneading her dough, v'achsei rachas, when the other one is preparing it, shaping it into the matzah, and v'achas oifa, the first one is baking her dough, so we see that everything's done staggered or in steps. If we go from beginning to end, according to the Chum, the way it has to work is that the first woman starts kneading her dough all by herself. Then when she starts doing the ketifa, the second woman begins kneading her dough, and then when the first woman bakes, the third one's in the middle of her process. Rabbi Kiva argues and says, v'leikol anashim, v'leikol etzim, v'leikol tunur and shoven, not all women, wood, or ovens are the same. Some women go faster, some slower. Some wood burns faster and hotter, some not so fast and not so hot, and some ovens as well. They generate and retain heat much quicker, and so they'll bake the matzah quicker, and some not. And therefore, Zaklal, this is Rosh Rabbi Kiva, Tafach Totesh Betzainin. If the woman who's making her dough sees that it's starting to rise, she pats it with cold water, and that prevents it from rising. So I think Mara clarifies in Shitas from Gamliel, Tani Weaver Braisa, Harishana Kadeshe Kadeha Seika. The first one, she's waiting with her dough the amount of time it takes to heat up the oven. Meaning, even though the first woman got to knead her dough and got to do Katifa, prepared into the loaves, and she's able to bake it first, she still is waiting with her dough a little bit amount of time, which is hesek. She's the one that's firing up the oven first, so her dough is just sitting there while the oven's being fired and heated up, and that's no problem for her to wait that long. Not only that, chavav amalaf on top, vashnia, the second woman, how long is she waiting? Kidei shnei hesekin vafio achas, the amount of time it takes to heat the oven up twice and one baking. That's because the first woman heated up the oven and baked her matzah, and then after she took her matzah out, the second woman has to now reheat the oven, and only then she could put her matzah in, so the second woman's matzah is waiting these three time periods, two hesekin and one afia. And vashlish is the third woman, kidei shloisha hesekin ushtei afiyos. She's waiting three oven heatings and two bakings. The first woman heated the oven and baked her matzah. The second woman heated the oven and baked her matzah. And now the third woman has to wait till the oven's heated a third time and only then she can bake her matzah. And all this is perfectly fine. We're not worried about it becoming chametz. And again, this is all she's from Gamliel. Now here's an added chedesh, ima sas kika rishain. If the third woman made one loaf, meaning she made one matzah, and now she wants to make another one, no problem. Achrein, that last matzah that the third woman is making, how long is it waiting? Kedei shlosh haseken v'sholosh afiyos. Three oven heatings and three bakings, and that's no problem. Now we go to Shitas Chachamim. Tani was taught in a braisa, gamra zu lishasa, v'gamra zu kitufa, v'gamra zu haseka. When the first one finishes her kneading, so as we explained in the Mishnah, the second one is going to start her kneading while the first one is doing ketifa. Then when the first one finishes her kitufa, her preparing of the loaves, that means the second one was ready, finished the lisha, she's finished the kneading, and then the third one is going to start her kneading, and then when the first one is finished the hesek, heating up the oven, that means the second one is finished setting up the matzos, and then the first one is finished her lisha, kneading of the dough, so it goes in the step process. And so how long is each one waiting for? Harishaina, shay kedei haseka, the first one is only waiting for the oven to be heated up. Vashni, the second one, kedei haseka vafias chaverta, she's just waiting for the heating of the oven and the baking of the first one. And vashlisha, the third one, is only waiting kedei shnei haseken vafio achas. And also in the chamim, we have something similar. Emasas kikarishain, if the last woman made one dough and she wants to make another one, so achrein, that last one, kedei shnei haseken ushtei afiyos, is waiting two haseken and two afiyos to go into the oven. And again, according to the chamim, this is the way that we don't run into issues of the dough sitting for too long before going into the oven. And we quote a whole section of the Mishnah, we're going to say, Eimer, shalosh nashim, lashes, ka'achas, oifes, b'taner, echad, zuachar, zu, v'acham, oimer, shalosh nashim, asekos, b'atzek, achas, lashem, achas, rachas, v'achas, oifa. So now, Tani Rabbi Shai, teaches in a braisa, v'acheres, ba'a, v'losha, tachtein. According to both of them, another woman, a fourth woman, she could come and start kneading her dough after the first three are finished. According to Rabbi Gamliel, this means after the first three finish kneading their doughs, because again, according to Rabbi Kiva, they all started kneading together. So once the first three finish kneading their doughs together, a fourth woman can start her process, because she's considered the group after them already. Whereas according to the Chamim, it's only after the third woman finishes kneading her dough, then a fourth woman could come along and knead her dough. And there's actually a bunch of really handy charts on the bottom if you want to see exactly how the process goes, step by step. Now the question is, how big are these doughs allowed to be? So it's starting to tell you, those are teaching a braisa, B'chitin shloshes kaben u'b'sarin arbas kaben. If the dough is made out of wheat, it's only allowed to be 3 kav. If the dough is made out of barley, it's only allowed to be 4 kav. Whereas istanai tanya, those teaching the price of the opposite. B'chitin arbas kaben u'b'sarin shloshes kaben. If it's a wheat dough, it's allowed to be 4 kav, and if it's a barley dough, it's allowed to be only 3 kav. And actually, they're not arguing. Man da arm b'chitin shloshes kaben. The one who says that a wheat dough is only allowed to be 3 kav, that's referring to b'shiyesh ben shamnunes, where the flour is very moist, and therefore it's going to become chametz much quicker, so the dough has to be smaller. And b'sarin arbas kaben, the reason why the barley dough is allowed to be 4 kav, according to Ma'adamar, is b'she'en ben shamnunes. That's where it's very dry, it's not moist, therefore it's not going to become chametz so quick. Whereas Ma'adamar b'chitin arbas kaben, according to Ma'adamar, the wheat dough is allowed to be 4 kav, that's referring to something else. Dinun chation, it's referring to where the matzahs are very, very thin, so they don't rise so quickly, and they're going to bake very quickly. B'sarin shloshes kaben, and the reason why barley dough is only allowed to be 3 kav, that's the inun retishin, that's because the matzahs are very thick, therefore they'll become chametz quicker. That's why the dough itself has to be smaller. Moving on to halacha, hey, we discuss different types of chametz. Seer yisarif va'oichloi potter, whereas siduk yisarif va'oichloi chayev kores. If we have something which is seer, and we've mentioned this previously, this is a dough that didn't fully rise, so it's considered chametz in as much that it has to be burned, you can't have it on Pesach, but one who eats it is potter because it's not fully developed chametz. Whereas siduk, when the dough reached this stage, then it's 100% chametz, so not only does it have to be burned, if a person eats it, he's chayev kores. Now the question is, ezu seer? What's the definition of seer? How do we know that the dough reached this stage? And the answer is kekarne chagavim. It has cracks in it, like the antenna of grasshoppers, which means it only has 2 cracks in it. The top of it cracked a little bit, one here, one there, and that means it's not fully chametz. It's just seer. Whereas siduk, what's this? Shenis arvu stuck of zebazeh. That's where it's risen so much. It has a whole bunch of cracks on the top of the dough, and they're all mixed in with each other, and so that's proper chametz. Did Rabbi Yehuda? That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Was Chamer and Chum argue that no zebazeh ha'oichle chayv karis. Both of these descriptions Rabbi Yehuda just gave. One eats them means chayv karis is considered 100% chametz. Ezu seer, according to the Chamim, what's considered seer, then one is not chayv karis for eating it. Kol shechsifu panav ka'adim sha'am nisaraisav. If the top of the dough is pale, like a person who's frightened and his hairs stand on end and his face is pale, so if the bread is that color, that's what seer is according to the Chamim. Now the Gemara tells us, Rav Huna says b'shem Rav, that Rabbi Yehuda would say about the Chachamim's description of seer that mutar l'achilu l'kalbay, he's going to feed it l'chatchilu to his dog. It's 100% mutar b'ana because it's not even considered seer, so there's no issue with it. Now Tana Bar Kappara. Bar Kappara teaches an explanation of why the Chachamim hold that Rabbi Yehuda's shita of seer is 100% chametz. That's because ein l'chasedik milmalon she'ein tachtav kam tzedakin. You don't have a crack on the top of the dough or bread that isn't indicative of a whole bunch of other cracks underneath the surface, as that just because you have 2 cracks on top, that doesn't mean that it's not fully developed. Inside, there's tons of cracks, and it actually is fully developed and 100% chametz. Now, chavav ombez on top, moving on to halachavav. The Mishnah says, arbas or shechalias b'shabbos, the 14th that falls on Shabbos, meaning Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, so when are we supposed to do bir chametz? We have machlaikas. Mevarnas akol mefnei Shabbos Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, everything is destroyed before Shabbos, including truma. Whereas Vacham say, no, bizmanon, in its proper time, everything is destroyed on Shabbos. Obviously, you're not going to be making a bonfire on Shabbos, but you could crumble it up and throw it to the wind, as we've mentioned, or you could completely mevatel it if he hasn't managed to eat it. Or Rav Lozber Tzadik, and Rav Lozber Tzadik says, it really depends. Truma melefnei Shabbos, v'chulin bizmanon. Truma, you have to get rid of before Shabbos, chulin on Shabbos. Why is that? Well, because truma is very difficult to find people to eat it. Only kehanim are allowed to eat it, and therefore, wouldn't want to run into an issue by Rabbi Matzei on Shabbos by having too much truma's chametz. Therefore, just get rid of it before Shabbos. Whereas chulin, there's a lot of people that could eat it. You could give it to an animal. Therefore, you're only allowed to destroy it in its proper time, which is on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara tells us, Asid Rameir Krib Lezer, Viruba Mind Rib Lezer. Rameir is like Rib Lezer, and he's actually more machodish than Rib Lezer. Rib Lezer and Rib Lezer had said, we learned a couple of lachs ago when we had a dough on Pesach, which was Tamei, and we had a problem. How are we supposed to separate challah from it? What did Rabbi Elazar say? They were supposed to do arama, put all the dough into the oven to bake it, and then take everything out minus one, designate that as challah, and just let it burn. And why is that? Shaloyav l'idei bal Rabbi Matzei, so it's not to run into the issue of bal Rabbi Matzei, because if you separate challah from the dough without it being in the oven, he can't do anything with it now, and it might become chametz, and that's going to be an issue bal Rabbi Matzei. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar allows burning it, even though it's kind of like burning kachman yantif, so it's not to run into the issue of bal Rabbi Matzei. And Rav Meir Amir, he says in our Mishnah, Shelo Yavoy L'Safek Bal Rabbi Matzei. The one's allowed to burn the Truma before Shabbos, which is before Erev Pesach, that's so as not to run into an issue of Safek Bal Rabbi Matzei. Because Rav Meir is Mesupik, that maybe you're not going to be able to get rid of your Truma in time, and then maybe you're going to run into Bal Rabbi Matzei. As we see that he allows burning Truma, even because of a Safek Bal Rabbi Matzei, so he's like Rabbi Lezer, but even more than him. And similarly, Asya D'Rabbanin, Rabbi Yeshua, V'Rubim Rabbi Yeshua, the Rabbanin of the Mishnah, like Rabbi Yeshua over there, and actually more than him. Rabbi Yeshua said over there regarding challah, in servant as a kachim biyantif, no burning kachim biyantif, therefore the challah is just separated while it's still dough and you don't put it in the oven, even though the dough might become chametz. Rabbanan Amar Rabbanan say also, afilu B'chol in Sarfanas HaKadshim, even during the weekday we don't burn Kadshim, even though he knows that on Shabbos, Erev Pesach, he might not be able to get rid of all his Trumas Chametz, that still does not warrant burning it Erev Pesach. Now, Tani Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Loi Nechle B'Sham Beis Hillel, B'Sham Beis Hillel don't argue Al Trumat Tahira She'asa L'Sarfa, regarding Trumat Tahira, that it's usher to burn it Erev Shabbos, when Shabbos is Erev Pesach, you have to leave it for Shabbos, and Val Trumat Tamei HaShemot L'Sarfa, if the Truma is Tamei anyway, you're allowed to burn it before Shabbos. So Amar Nechle, what's our Machlokes, Al Tluya, if it's Suffolk Tamei, She'Bisham Erev Ein Sarfin, B'Sham says don't burn it before Shabbos, U'Beis Hillel Erev Sarfin, Beis Hillel says burn it before Shabbos. Now Amar B'Sham Beis Hillel, B'Sham said to Beis Hillel, Kloma Tem Erev B'Tahira Shleiti Sarif, don't you admit that if it's Truma Tahira, you're not allowed to burn it before Shabbos? Ela Shani Omer, I explain why is that. Shema Kayin Echad Shavas B'Seichat Chum, maybe there was a Kayin who ended up coming into the Tchum Shabbos right beforehand, that's called being Shavas B'Seichat Chum, and Vuba Va'echel B'Shabbos. He's going to come on Shabbos, say, hey guys, I slept right inside the Tchum last night, that's why you didn't see me, and now I'm hungry, and so you're able to give him Truma. That's the reason why I, Beis Shammai, say, you're not allowed to burn this Truma Tahira Erev Shabbos when Shabbos is Erev Pesach. Well, by that same token, says Beis Shammai, Af Tuluy Loi Tesaref, even Safek Truma is not allowed to be burned Erev Shabbos. Shani Omer, because I say, Shem El Yo Shabbos Bar Carmel, maybe El Yo Anavi spent Shabbos on Har Carmel, Vuhubo Meir Oleb Shabbos Shitaira. Then on Shabbos, he's going to come and say that it's Tahar, and then we'll be able to eat it before Pesach. So you can't burn Safek Tamei Truma before Shabbos. However, Amrul Han Beis Hillel respond to them, Muftachin Anu She'en El Yo Ba, Loi Shabbos is Loi Yom Tovim. We are 100% certain that El Yo Anavi is not going to come on Shabbos or Yom Tov. It's really referring to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov because it ruins people's preparations for Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we don't suspect for this thing that you just mentioned. Now we explain the third sheet to the Mishnah. Rav Avoh says, "B'shem Rav Yochanan, Asad Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik Rav Gamliel. Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik holds like Rav Gamliel. Come on, Rav Gamliel, Amar, just like Rav Gamliel said in the first parak, he was the midline shita differentiating between chulin and truma. At what point in time it's allowed to be eaten erev Pesach? Mashani ben chulin and truma. That there was a difference between chulin and truma. Chulin's allowed to be eaten the fourth hour and truma the fifth hour. Kain Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik Amar. So it's Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik over here is the midline shita. Mashani ben chulin and truma. He made this differentiation between chulin and truma. The chulin's only allowed to be destroyed erev Pesach, which is on Shabbos itself, because there's a lot of people that could eat truma, so there's no reason to destroy it earlier. Whereas truma doesn't have so many people to eat it, therefore it's allowed to be destroyed earlier. And therefore, kamad de temar halacha gam gamliel, just like we said over there, in regards to when a person has to stop eating chametz erev Pesach, the halacha zakar gamliel, the chavasa assembly, halacha kabbalah zber tzadik, the halacha kabbalah zber tzadik over here, that truma is destroyed erev Shabbos and chulin only on Shabbos. We're gonna stop here for the day. Pick up tomorrow with halacha zayin. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.